Sports Talk Radio for the Brainerd Lakes. 1380 KLIZ AM. Brainerd Baxter, the fan.
It's time for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, the fan. Featuring Colin McDonald and Chris Foley. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Craigan's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. And now, here's Chris Foley and Colin McDonald for Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley, Colin McDonald with you. 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Thanks to our sponsors, Mills Ford and Mills GM. And now available at Podcast One, and really wherever you can find a podcast, you can find Lakes, Woods, and Irons. All right, big week. Justin Thomas wins the BMW Championship, and anybody who was thinking maybe Justin had gone away and lost a little bit of his game, he destroyed the field, Chris, and which was interesting. Not everybody was tearing the place up. It was there for the taking, certainly in some cases, but Thomas was just unconscious.
Well, it was very low scoring, especially from Medina. You know, if you look back, the last time they held the PGA Championship, which was, when was it? Back in 1999, Tiger Woods won at 11 under. So Justin Thomas, you know, wins at 25 under.
Right.
Difference of 14 shots. But, you know, really interesting when you... You know, the difference in the golf course was just that it was very wet. The golf course played very, very soft. And, you know, for the PGA Championship, rough was longer. Golf course played much more firm. And so when the golf course is soft, you know, the length doesn't matter because these guys all bomb it. But when they can, you know, when they know they can take it out of the pin on every hole and they have no problem holding the greens, they're going to shoot some low scores.
Yeah, he was he set the course record, which he can do. He's done it a few different times over the last few years. He gets a 61, including an ace late in the round. Yeah. I mean, he's already tearing the place apart, and then I think he aced the 17th hole, yeah, or made one from the fairway, one of the two, for an eagle.
Yeah, made it. I think it was an eagle from the fairway.
Yeah,
but, Hideki Matsuyama two 63s.
Right, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
He shoots 63 on Friday, and then Justin Thomas shoots 61 on Saturday to beat the course record by two. So, and then Hideki Sunday shoots 63 again.
Yeah, just a phenomenal. The fun part about it is Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you know, a guy will make a bogey, and they'll go, well, he just dropped out of the top 30. He fell down to 33rd. Needs to make a couple birdies, yeah, coming in, and it's changing by the moment.
Right.
Until they got to about the 70th or 71st hole, the field of 30 wasn't really set yet.
No, there were a number of guys who moved out in and out of that top 30 over the course of the day on Sunday. So, unfortunately, Tiger Woods being one of those guys that dropped out, he was 31st starting the day on Sunday, ended up finishing 37th. Gary Woodland, you know, shoots 73 on Sunday. He drops 13 spots and finishes 31st. Same with Wyndham Clark, same thing. So there was some big movement on Sunday. Ian Poulter starts off the day at 43rd, moves to 31st, so misses by one, but had a great day. Some Abraham Answer, who from Mexico, would start off the day at 31st, moves to 28th.
Yeah.
So, boy, he's had a great last, you know, 5-6 weeks, Answer has.
And the tournament is not really complicated, I guess. It's certainly different. But we were just talking about, I didn't know about the whole FedEx point system. The guys who are, was it 70th up to 123rd or 4th or 5th?
123rd to 150.
Oh, 123 to 150.
So those guys are moving on to, they don't even have their PGA Tour card for next year. They're going into the Corn Ferry Final Three events, which start, well, they're going on right now, the one more event. Those guys all got $70,000 as part of the FedEx
just for being in the top 150
yeah.
points.
Yeah, so
70K comes in the mail. What happened to they, what, look, honey, we got 70K in the mail.
I knew I should have worked harder on my golf game.
And then Thomas, now he shoots lights out, and so he'll go into that final tournament. Some players like it, some players don't. He'll have a two-shot advantage over the second-place starter, and then 3, 4, 5 down to even par is the worst you could start. And the guy in 30th, for instance, will start at even, so 10 shots back. And so you start the tournament at 10 under par. And when you're as good as these guys, well, just this week. What if Thomas would have started the tournament 10 under par this week? He would have finished 3,500.
Yeah, I'm going to leave my judgment until next week, Mac. But I don't know. It's an interesting way to start. It might end up being better than what it was before, because you really didn't have any idea where they stood before. I mean, if you weren't watching the Golf Channel and Craig Kann, whoever it was giving you minute by minute readings on the, you know, kind of the leaderboard, now what position he's in, you definitely couldn't tell it by what the scores were. So this way, I mean, I guess maybe it's a little bit easier to understand. I don't know if I like it, however, the way they're doing it.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if I like it either. I think it's the top eight. Anyone in the top eight, if they win it, they will win the FedEx Cup. Mm-hmm. So they put enough of a point spread in there where the eighth guy, if he happens to win the tournament, could jump over everybody in the top seven. So below that, then it becomes more of a mathematical figure for where everybody finishes in that 30. But, yeah, lots of dough on the line. And the question that has been asked in a little bit in recent years, first time ever probably that Mickelson and Woods are not in the top 30.
Yeah.
I mean, one or two of them may have been, they may have been out a time or two, but never together, I don't think. So Tour has got to have some new faces, because two of the all-time greats might not be there every year.
Right, yeah. It's Tiger's actually missed it 9 times out of the 16 times it's been played, but most of those have been injury related rather than not playing well. But he was the defending champion from last year, so.
Right, yeah, and he's won it more than once. Yeah. So
Shane Lowry out as well.
That was a big one, yeah.
Yeah, I figured, won the Open Championship and has had a okay year, but didn't have enough points to advance. So
yeah,
interesting.
Yep. Clark as well, after he won the British Open, maybe that was enough. You know, you think, okay, I won the British Open and never quite as good a player. For one thing, they take a month off partying, or the Open Championship.
I think Darren Clark was on the end of his career to a certain extent. I think Shane Lowry's just starting to peak. So I think we'll see more good things from him to come.
So we'll see who's crowned. Dustin, his game seems to be slipping just a little. Koepka didn't play very well on the weekend, which was odd for him after being in pretty good position early in the tournament. Yeah, it's fun. And Justin Thomas, a guy we kind of talked about over the year, really, as we've done the show. You just hope that Thomas and Spieth and Rory and Dustin and Koepka can all be at the top of their game for a season. That would be fabulous. Mm. And slugging it out, which not everybody's there right now. But to see Thomas come back, when he gets in the zone, he's as good as any of them.
Yeah. You know, it's 10th career win, which is the only player under 25. The only other player who's done that is Dustin Johnson. So pretty rarefied air right there.
Another tournament you love that was this weekend as well is U.S. Amateur, 119th U.S. Amateur. You've got friends and colleagues who've played in that tournament over the years, and it's challenging, and it's a marathon, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It's definitely the pinnacle of amateur golf. And, you know, there's so much on the line, really, for somebody who wins it, including exemptions into the U.S. Open, the Masters, which is huge, and the Open Championship. And, man, it's a marathon. By the time if you get to that final match, you've played 9 rounds of golf in 6 days. So it's a big deal. But I love it because it's the best amateurs in the world, and you get a mix of college players and mid-ams, and if as long as you're a certain handicap, I think you have to be 1.2 or below, you can try to qualify for it. It's kind of the Evermans tournament, like the U.S. Open.
And yep.
Attending it is fantastic because you walk right down the middle of the fairway with the players, and you don't get to experience that at any professional events, that's for sure.
Georgia Tech's Andy Ogletree ends up winning it over Vanderbilt's John Augustine, 2-1, a 36-hole final match. The total number of golf holes played in the course of the week is phenomenal, really, just extraordinary. So a marathon, as we said. You had kind of a unique inside baseball kind of story. A friend of yours is in the tournament. He ended up tied with 27 other guys, is that correct?
Yeah, there were 3 spots available there was a 27-man playoff for 3 spots. So at the end of stroke play, they had to come back the next day. Nate McCoy, who's been on the show before from Des Moines, he recently got his amateur status back, and so he was one of the 3 27 players to play in that playoff for 3 spots. And kind of amazing how they do it. They go off as foursomes, and what would it be, the 7 foursomes that played, you had to wait until everybody completed the first hole to see what the scores were to move on. And it went 4 holes, and I think on the first hole they eliminated 8 or 9 players. Second hole there were a couple birdies made, and so there was the final 2 holes, there was 1 spot available. But I think that playoff took about 2.5 hours.
Had to, yeah.
Yeah.
27 guys have to play the hole because it's sudden death. So say 9 guys make birdies, then 9 advance out of the 27.
So, that Pinehurst is such a tremendous venue too, and it's just classic golf course architecture. It was very firm, just polar opposite of how Medina played. Old Donald Ross golf course with a lot of slope and undulation on the greens, and when it's firm like that, it's just so much fun to see what happens to the ball on the ground. That unpredictability, I just think it makes for great golf and great viewing. And
so 2 big events, another one coming up obviously on the professional tour. Somebody's going to walk away the prize money, $15 million for first, is that right?
$15 million for first
for the FedEx Cup championship.
Yeah, so
that's good dough.
It's not bad.
And it's a big difference between first and second. I mean, everybody gets a big paycheck, not quite $15 million.
That's first place $15 million, second place $5 million.
Yeah, that's a big difference.
It's not bad.
They say the first million's the hardest to get. I'd like to find out.
I'm working on mine still.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ. The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you. Special guest with us as well. We're at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Also now at Podcast One. And our streaming is brought your way by our sponsors, Mills GM and Mills Ford. Got Glenn Hagberg. Glenn, give me your official title again.
Head golf professional at Madden's on Gull Lake.
Yeah, that's a good title. Not bad. Chris is with, they've switched roles. Glenn is the new co-host of the show, and Chris is out at the golf course, which both these guys usually are, but today it happens to be Chris there. How you doing, Chris?
I'm doing well, Mac. Thanks.
I know you and Glenn are old buddies, so it's always fun to have Glenn on the show.
Absolutely.
And kind of get what's happening at the Classic and Madden's as the year closes down. So, well, not closes down, our year on the show closes down, but there's plenty of great golf left. Really the best, in my opinion, the best 2 months of the year right here. So, hi, Glenn.
No,
so let's say you got an event this week that happened early in the week that we want to talk about a little bit, the four-ball tournament.
Yeah, the Classic had the privilege of hosting the Minnesota State Four-Ball Championship earlier in the week, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, and probably you know, the maybe funnest or state championship that's run by our amateur association in the state, because it's a two-person team, so they take one of two. But that being said, it is a very, very good field. Some big names from amateur golf. You know, a bunch of current golfers. Ben Frazzini. Who else do we have? Noah Rosinski. Charlie Braniff played for the Golfers. Colton Biggie, Mac Biggie played for Central Florida. Trent Peterson, who won the Players Championship a couple years ago at the Classic, is back playing in this. Andrew Israelson, a local name from Staples, is currently playing at NDSU and the current MGA Players Championship. John Detoit, who played for the Gophers, and both State Am and State Open champions. So really, really good field, and always fun to see how the course holds up against those guys, and fun to see them you know, play the course as well. So
yeah, at taping we don't have a winner just yet, but yeah, it's just give us the format on the four ball, Glenn.
Yeah, there's 160 tournament participants. They play in two-person teams, so there's 82 person teams, and the low 72, the low 36 teams and ties make the cut and play on Wednesday. So both Monday was a one-day qualifier, Tuesday is a one-day qualifier, and the low 72 advance. Yesterday's qualifier, 2 under was the cut line. So some really good players. Jim Lehman and his partner qualified yesterday and will advance to Wednesday. But yeah, we'll see what the rest of the week holds.
Sure.
The way
yeah.
we stand now.
Good. That's a lot of fun.
Glenn, I was looking at those qualifying scores before we came on air, and the course really must be set up pretty difficult, because the scores are much higher than they typically are.
Yeah, I think you know, I forgot where it was hosted or where it was played last year, and I think 12 under won it last year, and I'm not sure what the you know, the cut line ended up being. But yeah, the courses, I mean, the greens are really rolling good. The course is playing well, but as you know, we all know, it tends to hold up in competition. So
yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Glennie's going winged foot on him. He's setting it up tough, Chris.
We had strict instructions to not go too crazy.
Okay.
Well, you don't have to do too much with the Classic to make it difficult. And, you know, the greens are always perfect, and depending on where you have the pins, it's always a good test.
Yeah, it was a fun course setup. The MGA picks the hole locations, and they, you know, it's nothing crazy. Really, it's pretty playable, but definitely the hole locations are in parts of the green that are not as accessible. You know, once you get there, it's nothing nuts around the holes themselves, but you know, that front part of 9 and the right side of number 1, just tougher shots to get a real good shot in close. So
sure.
Madden's always has stuff going on, Glennie. Let's take a little rundown as we get into the late August and into September, which is you guys generally have a lot of things going on. So let's talk about what's coming up.
Yeah, a couple aside from, you know, kind of basically just tiptoeing into our busiest 6-8 week stretch of the year. A couple events just left on the calendar so far this year. One in September, the Classic 666 Shootout, which benefits the Brainerd Sports Boosters, and we've talked about that event before. Mac, you and Chris have played the last couple years, and that event's really caught on, and it's a real fun, competitive event. Two-person teams and six holes, alternate shot, six holes, best ball, six holes, scramble. And yeah, that we sent out the email here midsummer, and it was full within a week. So
yeah. Chris is claiming he has to be out of the country, so he's not playing with me after my performances the last couple of years.
Yeah.
We got a lot of build up at the pre-tournament dinner, and I didn't deliver, Chris.
Well, I last year I don't think either one of us delivered too well.
Well, it was probably our year, and now you're leaving the country just to avoid
That's
it.
That's right.
That's actually Chris's Scotland trip, so it's totally understandable.
and then that is Sunday, September 22nd, a 2:30 shotgun start, and then we wrap up the season the first weekend in October, Saturday, October 5th, with our chili challenge over on the Pine Beach West Golf Course.
Yeah.
Kind of a tough day, a superintendent's revenge type of a concept, and the colder the weather, the better. But we've actually been pretty fortunate for a number of years here. It's been a really nice time of year to play. Leaves are changing, greens are slick, and we get a little creative with some hole locations, a little creative with some where we place the tees, and I've had a full field the last few years. So that registration is open. There is rooms for teams to play in that. It's a four-person scramble format. There's a net formula that gets factored into things. And that's a very enjoyable way to end up the season. And normally a scramble that plays pretty quick, too. You know, everybody's normally in within 4 hours. So.
Yeah, it's a great tournament. A lot good fun late in the year. And also, I should mention, Glennie was gracious enough to find me some tee times. We're getting married here soon, and got quite a few, decent golfers, a few good ones coming in. So I thought, well, we can't play the Classic because some of the guys would never come back. But we're set up over at Madden's, which right at, it'll be a great day, the day before the wedding, with some of the boys out teeing it up, and I'm guessing possibly having a cool one here or there, Glennie, probably.
Yeah, awesome. That's the funnest weekend of the year. There is so many golfers in the area that weekend right
after.
It's
good timing by me to pick the busiest golf weekend of the year to try to schedule some times in. What else we want to talk about, Glenn, as we get down the stretch here? You got to get, if you haven't played the Classic this year, put it on your calendar and try to squeeze in September. Locals and anybody coming in from out of town, obviously, here's the program. But you just have to play the Classic at least once or twice a year, don't you think?
Yep, I agree. And if you haven't gotten it in this year, boy, things have really been in good shape all year long. So the courses are fantastic everywhere in the area, I know is. But it's really a treat. The greens are rolling awesome. Our caddy program has gone just great this year. And that kind of rolls through the end of August. So your last couple week chance to come out and maybe loop around the golf course with a caddy. And then September is certainly a great time of year to play. And, yeah, like I said, kind of our heading into our busiest time of the year. Most people are kind of putting aeration schedules on the calendar and note that we don't do any of our heavy maintenance work until after we close the golf course in October. So the golf course plays absolutely perfect here end of August and all the way through September into early October.
And a few venues, Tito's Handmade Vodka sponsors our 19th hole, and I'm guessing a guy can find a good meal and a good something to drink in the Madden's Resort area.
Absolutely. Classic Grill's the hot spot. Mission Point, our new restaurant last year, is your place for fresh seafood and fish, kind of everything fresh right on the lake, and you can pull up it to the dock if you're on the south side. There's a great patio right on the lake now on the tip of the peninsula, and a nice spot to kind of come and hang out for an afternoon.
Yeah, not bad at all. It's a good spot.
Glenn, I got to have dinner at Mission Point a couple times in the last couple weeks, and it was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, that's a great report. I haven't gotten to eat there yet this year. I was down there about once a month last year, but
you're missing out, Glennie.
Yeah, you boys are just a little busy sometimes during the golf season.
What do you recommend, Chris?
I'll tell you what I had. We had the seafood platter as an appetizer. And that is fantastic. It's got crab legs and oysters and some shrimp on there. And can't remember what else it had on there, but it was fantastic. And then I had one of the steaks, and it was as good a steak as I've had out in the summer.
Nice.
Nice. Very good. In the golf world, guys, Tiger's going to be President's Cup coach this year, captain, I guess it is. And he's... Still got four picks to make. The eight guys will be in there based on the point system, and then he'll choose four. Although it's do as I say, maybe, because he says, I want to reinforce the guys. It's important to play and be fresh and sharp. We're going overseas where we're playing an amazing team. It's on their soil. These guys are going to be tough to beat. This after Tiger took 4 weeks off and came into the playoffs. I don't know. he's obviously a great captain, and you think he should play himself?
I do not. I don't know. I think Tiger has to pick and choose his venues, and he should play on the places that he's familiar with. He needs to play when it's warm weather. Any cold weather venues or where it's going to be raining and damp, he has no chance.
Sure doesn't seem like it. Yeah, his body doesn't hold up as well.
Not gonna allow it.
My body only plays well at 83 degrees. I must have shot a 41 that night.
84, 81, you're done.
Finished. Yeah, yeah. If I'm under 81, I shoot way over 81, and if I'm over 84, I shoot way over 84. So. I'm particular, Chris.
I understand. I've been there.
Glenn, thanks for taking the time. Looking forward to the Sports Boosters tournament coming up, and that's always a blast. I had to go recruit my first alternate when Chris decided to desert me, but he's going to Scotland, for goodness sakes, the home of golf.
I'm jealous.
Yeah, no kidding. Me too. All right, guys, thanks for taking the time. I appreciate it.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Mac.
Chris, you get back to work, and Glenn and Al go find some fun somewhere.
Thanks, Mac.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on 1380 KLIZ.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
I want to welcome to the show Neil Johnson. Neil is a professional golfer from River Falls, Wisconsin, playing in the Brainerd Lakes Showcase this week. And actually, we're taping this Wednesday. He's the leader in the clubhouse with about a third of the field done. 400 today, Neil. Welcome to the show.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Yeah.
So you're a gusty, played golf at Gustavus and was an All-American there, both for your play as well as an academic All-American. Mm-hmm. And Gustavus is near and dear to our heart because my son Joe plays there now. But you know, you graduated in 2005. Tell us about your journey in pro golf.
It's turning into a long journey because now it's about 14 years, I guess. Basically, I've been traveling around and playing. I didn't turn pro right away after I graduated. I graduated in 04. I stayed an amateur for two summers just because I didn't think I was quite ready. I loved USGA events, and I'm like, I want to get back to the USAM. The Publings was still around then, and then whatever else I could, just big national tournaments. Like, yeah. I want to play those. So I did for two summers, and then 2005, I was like the Wisconsin Amateur Player of the Year. And I'm like, okay, I think now I'm probably ready.
Sure.
My game has improved. I got to some USGA events like that and competed a little bit nationally, so I was like, I'm ready, let's go. And since then, fall of 2005 to now, I mean, it's been every tour imaginable, every mini tour, every up in Canada 2 years, Latin tour 1 year, tried Asian tour once, tried Q school probably 11 times, I guess, probably. Yeah. Gotten through that once to get on the web.com tour, and that's what I'm still trying for, is to get back on the Corn Ferry.
Yeah.
And stay out there. Did you get out there and stay out there?
Somebody asked me earlier today, in talking about, if I thought we had a chance of actually getting a Corn Ferry event here, which I think we mm-hmm. do. And, he said, well, are those guys really that good? And I said, you can't believe how good they are. And if you're playing the Corn Ferry Tour, you're one of the 500 best players in the world.
Yeah, I agree.
And, if you're playing in this event, I would say, a third of the field for sure could easily be playing on the Corn Ferry Tour event or the Corn Ferry Tour or the PGA Tour.
Yes. Yeah, the gray area or the overlap between the PGA, the bottom guys on the PGA Tour to the top guys on the Corn Ferry, I mean, it's so muddled. They're just as good. And then same thing, the bottom of the Corn Ferry to mini tour guys that are out here this week,
yeah.
or... I mean, it's just there's a fine line, and there's thousands of us. I mean, there's probably 1,000 to 1,500 of us fighting for, you know, 300, 400 spots a year between all those memberships.
Yeah, I mean, if you take the European Tour, the Corn Ferry Tour, and the PGA Tour, there's about 700 guys between those three tours that have some status. I mean, all those guys, almost all of them could win any given week on the PGA Tour. And then if you take, you know, all these mini tours that you've played on, really the difference in a lot of it to me in following it for many years is the timing of your play.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, playing well the week of PGA Tour qualifying or Q School.
Yeah, playing well on a Monday qualifier, you know, hitting, kind of getting, it's not getting lucky, it's just hitting the timing right, hitting your stride on that Monday. Your putter's on fire, you know, your wedges are great, you shoot 64, you get in.
Yeah.
And then you roll that right into Thursday and Friday, and you make the cut, and then, you know, maybe you finish top 15, you know, and it's a Corn Ferry event, so now you're exempt in the next week.
Right.
And, you know, I've seen guys do that every single year, you know, since I've been a pro. Whether they're friends of mine or, you know, or just people, you know, or just other golfers I know, and it's like, man, that's the story I want to do. But I haven't been able to do that. I haven't been able to have that breakthrough. Like, I've qualified for everything. I've qualified for 2 PGA Tour events. So I played well on Monday, but then once I got to Thursday, Friday, you know, I was just a little bit out of my comfort zone, and so I didn't play well, and I missed the cut. And then there's other guys who they seem to time their game perfectly for Q School for the fall. Like, once October, November, December comes around, you know, they got it locked in, they flip that switch, and they're able to get to final stage every single year and kind of keep themselves getting status, whatever that might be, you know. And it's timing, it's just the right kind of mental attitude throughout the year, you know, to keep it
right.
going. Yeah.
How many times have you been to the qualifying school?
I think it's 11. There's a couple years I had to skip. I remember one year I had to skip because I was broke, 2015. I was up in Canada that year. I was broke, and I'm like, no, I'm not going. But otherwise, it's probably been just about every year since, like, 05. Yeah, so maybe more than that point. Maybe it's even, like, 13 years.
And for our listeners, tell us about that process. How does that work?
Yeah, there's 3 different levels. Oh, technically, I'm sorry, there's 4, because there's a pre-qualifying stage.
Yeah.
Or if you're just out of college, you have to go to pre-qualifying. It's like $2,500 to do that. If you get through that, then you're on to first stage, and those guys have to pay an additional $2,500 or $3,000. I'm not sure. It's somewhere around there.
And there are 8 sites this year?
I think there's 12 first stage sites. Yep. And each of them have 80 guys. 20 in ties kind of move on is kind of just the rough number, you know, around that. So 25% of the guys move on to second stage, and that filters from 12 sites down to maybe 6 sites. And same thing there, about 70, 80 guys, 18 in ties usually move on to that final stage, where there's 1 site and there's about 150 to 160 guys, or maybe, you know, around that is what ends up playing. And, you know, getting to the final stage is the first goal, because everyone at that final stage at least gets Corn Ferry conditional status.
They get
at least
some
a partial
status,
member.
Right.
You aren't guaranteed any starts, but you have that card, which has some benefits, because you can do Monday qualifiers for $100 as opposed to I was paying $450 all year. Plus the equipment companies, you can call them up and say, hey, I need some help, and they won't pay you, but they're going to at least probably give you some clubs, you know, or at least let you come out and try some stuff. Whereas, you know, if I'm going out somewhere, I got to pay $500 for my fitting, and then, you know, 40% off of whatever on the clubs, which is, hey, I'll take whatever deal I can get. But
it's
get that membership,
it's an expense.
You get that little card, and it's free. You're just like, this is much better.
When you get practice play visits at
the TPC courses, which a guy like me, who I'm traveling around all the time, the few years I've had that with Canada, I mean, it's great. I remember being in Tampa once, and I'm like, oh, I can go to TPC Tampa or whatever it is down there. Then, you know, they're all over. Memphis, I was in Memphis once. I just called them up and said, can I please come out? They're like, oh, we'd love to have you. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Which doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's a big deal. If you're practicing every day and you're having to pay for range balls every day, that's, you know, it could be
$40, $50, $60 a day on top of trying to on top of paying a green fee and everything else.
Yep. And when it's TPC, they're all good. So the range balls are going to be good. You might be going to some, you know, whatever ho dunk kind of practice where you get those old strike balls and you're just like, I just paid $10 for, you know, 45 balls and 12 of them aren't going to get airborne. Right. You know.
Those are the ones you hit the wedges with, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly. Don't hit the driver because it won't go anywhere, and you might crack the driver face or something. Yeah.
Tell us about some of the other expenses that you incur. I mean, it's expensive to play professional golf.
It is. It adds up. I mean, the entry fees are the most expensive thing. Every year when I do my taxes, it's like I spent, you know, $30,000 on entry fees. You know, I mean, because what I do with the mini tour level, at the mini tour level, it's organized gambling.
Right.
Everyone puts in 750, maybe let's say just $1,000, and you know, a third of the guys will get paid. You know, and that's why it's organized gambling. You know, 2/3 of the guys aren't going to get any of that money back, and a third of us that play well enough do. And you just hope it's enough, certainly, to cover that entry fee. But then all your travel expenses.
How many weeks on average would you say you cover your expenses?
I bet you. I mean, it's over 50% of my tournaments. I cover my expenses, I would say, which is nice. And most tournaments now, they're smart enough that, hey, you know, if you make the cut, that last place check is going to be your entry fee. Yeah. That's like, okay, you know, there are still some where you'll go and you'll make the cut and you'll finish, you know, kind of down the pack 30th, and you make $300 and you paid $700. I'm looking at a tournament this fall. I played it last year and that's what happened. And I'd love to go back. It was a great course, really well-run event, but I got $330 for finishing 35th, paying $700, and I had to fly out, rent a car, get an Airbnb. And I was like, whoa, I don't know. I mean, financially, like, can you afford that tournament as opposed to some other events? You got to look for those values.
Yeah, I was talking to a hockey scout this morning who works for a hockey agent this morning who has a number of NHL players, and we were talking about the differences between playing, you know, minor league hockey, for instance, and playing professional golf. And he was kind of blown away when he thought about it. You know, he said, you know, it'd be the equivalent of, he said, the Eastern League is the best league in minor league hockey, and the guys, you know, it's the highest level of play.
Mm-hmm.
He said it'd be like a kid going and playing in the Eastern League and having to pay the owner $1,000 every week.
Yeah.
And if you'd only get paid based on your performance.
That's the unbelievable thing. I mean, imagine any job. Imagine signing a contract at any Fortune 500 company and saying, listen, don't pay me a dime, base it on my performance. And if I'm not better than 2/3 of my employees, my coworkers, don't pay me.
Yeah.
I mean, no one would sign up for that. But we're all crazy
because the dream.
We all love golf and we're all chasing the dream, but there is a lot of insanity involved with it.
Well, I mean, the pot of gold at the end of the rainbow. If you look at this week on the PGA Tour, the end of the FedEx Cup. I mean, you know, Justin Thomas is starting off the week at 10 under. He's got a 2-shot lead on the field.
And 15 million to win
and,
15 million.
And so,
right?
Yeah, he could win 15 million this weekend.
Yeah, the PGA Tour, because even the Korn Ferry, like, I don't need to get into the economics of the Korn Ferry Tour. Like, it sounds great, but even those guys are just scraping for every dime they can because their travel is way more. I'm driving from Brainerd to Minneapolis to Sioux Falls to wherever in Iowa, you know, like, I'm driving. That's not awful. These guys are flying from Columbia to Panama, you know, then they fly from Indiana to Savannah, Georgia, then back to Utah. I mean, it's nuts. So those guys are just scraping by. But then you get to the PGA Tour, and it's 10 times everything. You know, you instead of making, you know, $1,500 a week, you know, with endorsements, you could be making, you know, $5,000 to $15,000 or something like that. And instead of making $10,000, you know, for playing well, you're going to make $100,000 if you play well. And that 10 times thing, imagine that over in the course of the year that these guys get to the FedEx Cup playoffs, and it's funny
and
money.
It doesn't make much sense because you get to, I mean, it does, but it doesn't. But you get to that level, and all of a sudden,
You don't have to pay for a rental car. It's all courtesy.
Oh, courtesy car. The one tour event I got in, playing the courtesy, picking up the courtesy car was awesome. Dropping it off was almost better. I dropped it off with less than no gas. I mean, absolutely no gas. And the guy was so excited that I actually dropped it off at the Enterprise site. He's like, oh, "Hey, let me jump in the car. Let's drive to the airport so you can drop yourself off at the curb, and I'll drive it back." And I'm like, "I don't know if there's enough gas." He's like, "I don't care. We'll figure it out." Like, I'm just so glad, because most of the guys either leave it at the course or who knows where in the airport. Yeah. Like, I guess they're just finding cars out on the tar, because the guys who fly private, they have the special engines around the back of the airport, and then they just leave it on the tarmac or something like that. And they're just like, "Where are the keys?" I don't know. They're somewhere out there, you know. And the free food,
free dry cleaning. I'd be in for the free dry cleaning.
The free gifts. I mean, the one tour event I qualified for, I came home with gifts for my girlfriend like it was Christmas, and I was just like, you know, that was when we had just kind of started dating, and she's just like, "This is amazing." I'm like, "Yeah, it's not like that every week. Trust me. I'm going after this week. I'm going to Vermilion, South Dakota. I'm not getting anything. Sorry, but here's a Lululemon skirt and, you know, some kind of windbreaker from Fairway and Down or something. Yeah. You know, that's going to be $150 at every pro shop." And I'm just like, just handing them out because they want to make the wives and girlfriends happy, because then they can get Justin back. Thomas and Jordan Spieth and those guys to come play.
Right.
Yep.
So, you know, I always talk about on the show, you know, to play at a high level of golf and to be a champion at the elite level, you have to have a ton of emotional resilience. There's probably that, I think that is really the number one skill.
Yep.
And so, I mean, to play mini tour golf, to try to get, you have to have that same emotional resilience, because you get beat up on a weekly basis. So is that what inspires you to keep going on, is that
I love the challenge of golf, of getting better, you know. I mean, I always have loved that, you know. I'm not doing it for the money, you know, that's obvious, you know. But even when I'm playing these mini tour events or these state opens, like, I'm never thinking, "Oh, I want to go play that because it's 20 grand for first," you know, or, "Oh man, if I make this putt, you know, it could be this." I'll think about that after the fact, but man, when I'm playing, I just love the competition and the challenge of it.
Getting in the hunt.
But yeah, like, the difference between a good week and a bad week for me is almost always defined by my attitude. Mm-hmm. It comes down to, you know, how well I'm able to accept, you know, the bad breaks, the good breaks, you know, whatever curveballs come my way, you know, whether there's a bad weather, you know, bad wave, I might be in the bad wave with wind, or there might be some bad pins, or it might be just some bad bounces. And there's been a lot of weeks, you know, that I show up for the practice round and I can just tell I'm already kind of in that funk, you know, that kind of crabby little mood, and every little thing's bugging me, you know, whatever little volunteers are out there. I just feel like I want to crawl into that shell, you know, cause I can be a shy kind of guy, and I just don't even want to, you know. I'm like, "You got to get out of this, because you're not going to play well if you're in that funk,"
right,
you know? And then there's other weeks, just show up. Second I'm on there for the second I get to the practice zone on the range or something, or that first morning, like, "Oh yeah, I feel good, you know." I'm happy, and it's like, whatever, this guy could be driving, the beverage cart could be driving behind me honking a horn, and I'm gonna be focused and swing, you know, and nothing can really get me out of my zone and my routine. But it just doesn't click every single week.
Well, it doesn't for anybody.
No,
you know, that's golf, and at whatever level you're playing.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk a little bit about this week's event, what brought you to Brainerd, the Brainerd Lakes Showcase. And you've been a little involved in the tournament and helping recruit some players and a little bit on an advisory role. And we're day two into the tournament, pro-am yesterday and first round today. We got about a half the field probably in by now. But tell us what you think so far and you know, the prospects of getting a Korn Ferry Tour event here.
Well, I mean, the area is perfect for it, and that's last year. Last year was just like a one-day pro-am we kind of did. 25 of us pros came up and played with some of these sponsors who were interested. And, you know, the pros who played loved it. You know, they're like, "Oh, this area is gorgeous." I'm like, "Yeah, that's Brainerd Lakes area for you." Mm-hmm. Like, I just tried describing it to them. Like, "Listen, you guys got to go, and you got to do this fishing tournament. Like, it's Minnesota Lakes. You got to go fishing." And they're like, "Ah, whatever." And then they all went. The ones that went just blown away. It's just, you know, it's kind of a slow process slower process than, you know, than Ron, the guy in charge, would like. You know, you can't just force your way into getting on that schedule. You have to prove that you can get these sponsorships. You got to prove you can run a tournament, you know, and that's where we're at now. And the second year is like, listen, the first year of an actual pro tournament, 2 days, see what we can do, you know. And, you know, the course is fun for it, you know, and just the whole community is going to be good for it. It's just, you know, I guess next year we just got to keep growing a little bit more, whether it becomes a 3-day event or something else, you know. But there's just kind of each year you just get better and you just keep annoying the Korn Ferry, executives and be like, listen, we want this. We have the support, you know.
And I think that that's the big thing. And the thing that has been the most pleasant surprise for me, because I think the golf course can easily handle the event, is that we've gotten a tremendous amount of community support.
Mm-hmm.
And really, bottom line, that's what the tour is looking for.
Yes. Yeah. And every site they go, every place they go to, like, it's, I mean, the golf course almost is kind of secondary. I mean, for hosting the event, it's just like, we need the sponsors, because you need the volunteers. You know, there's not a lot of spectators that come out in a Korn Ferry event, you know, but there'll be enough, you know, but you need that support for the people to come out and be like, listen, I want to be a walking scorer, or I want to be a spotter, or I want to, you know, just whatever, help out with one of the, you know, any kind of, or help out on the range, you know. I mean, that's the one thing.
Hosting players.
Yeah, that's the thing that guys love. You know, every once in a while we'll want to stay in a hotel, but man, staying in a house, you know, free lodging with a family that's willing to open up their doors for you, that's perfect, you know.
You know, and the bottom line, the PGA Tour is a business. And
it's an entertainment business.
Yes, entertainment business. And they're not going to go to a venue where they're not going to be successful.
And they can, I mean, I'm sure they know how to kind of figure that out right away, pretty quickly, if something is like, well, I don't think this is for real. But what I've seen, you know, just kind of the sponsorship support, you know, with the Pro-Am yesterday and then last year, you know, how much that changed, and it's like, okay, it's out there. It's just grow it to next year, whatever we can, and find our way onto that Korn Ferry schedule, you know,
because
they have events that drop out, you know, but they have room to expand a couple events too if they wanted to. So hopefully this becomes one.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Neil, we appreciate you coming on and taking some time out of your schedule today, and let's go play well tomorrow.
Yep.
Win this thing.
I hope so. I'd like to.
Yes. That prize money would go a long way towards tour school.
Oh,
that'd
be great. Yeah. Anytime you get a check that's more than what the Q school is. At this time of the year, you're just like, okay, yeah, like I can now sign up and not completely lose that entire check.
That's right.
That's what's good. Yeah.
Awesome. Thanks very much,
Neil.
Thank you. That was Neil Johnson, professional golfer and grad of Gustavus University.
You're listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley and Colin McDonald at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.
Welcome back to Lakes, Woods, and Irons with Chris Foley. Colin McDonald with you, 1380 KLIZ, The Fan, streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com. Check out our website. The shows are archived there. You can see anything we've done in the last couple of years on there, so go find that. Also available now at Podcast One as well. Chris, heading toward the end of our show season, we got a few shows left, but get back to a topic we've talked about a lot, just scoring versus just improving your game. But scoring, avoid the big numbers if you're a mid-level type player. The double bogeys are the most important. You can even think of it. I was just thinking about it the other day. You think, say you want to play bogey golf or better. So, you know, 9 bogeys is 45.
Yeah.
Now you make 1 birdie and a par. Now you shoot 42 and the world is, pretty rosy.
That's right.
It doesn't really take that much, but you throw a 7 or an 8 in there, and now you're up at 48 or 49, and, the world is fast coming to an end.
Right. You know, it's really about, you know, depending on what level you're at, it's not about making more birdies or more pars, but it's about, you know, bogey, double, triple bogey avoidance.
Yeah.
And a lot of that is just managing your game better. And, you know, on the putting green, having better distance control, for instance. Because the vast majority of three putts are a result of poor distance control. It's not necessarily that you're, you know, that you're not putting it on the correct line, which is part of it. But, you know, if you're from... you know, inside of 30 feet, if you're not hitting it to, say, you know, 2 to 3 feet, then your distance control isn't very good. And a good gauge on the greens is if you hit it to 10% of the first putt. So if you're at 30 feet, you know, a good first putt would be inside of 3 feet. If you're at 10 feet, it should be inside of a foot.
Yeah.
And, you know, you want a no-anxiety second putt.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and then, you know, on your approach shots, you know, if you can always, the pin shouldn't necessarily always be your target. Even though it's hard not to hit it at the pin, we want to miss the golf. If we, you know, if we miss a shot, we want to miss on the fat part of the green. Meaning if the pin is on the right side of the green, our aim should probably be on the left side of the green. So, you know, we all have dispersions to our shots, and that dispersion based on the club is a certain, say, diameter. And if we can shift our aim so that our best shots are, you know, or I should say our worst shots on the outside of that diameter are not, say, off the green or in a hazard, then we're going to play better.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're 120 yards out and you've got a you know, a pin on the back right side of the green, and there's a water hazard right or a bunker right, you want to hit it so that your worst shot right will still finish on the green and not finish in that hazard or in the bunker. So you're not short-sighting yourself, so to speak. So, and that's, you know, Tiger Woods at the height of his player, when he's playing his best golf, you never see him miss a green on the short side where he's having to hit a chip shot or a pitch shot to a tight pin. He may miss it on the other side, but he's a master at hitting it to the fat part of the green.
Nobody better at avoiding bogeys than Tiger.
No, I mean, in the height of his career, he made fewer double bogeys than anybody on tour, I think. You know, and he made his fair share of birdies because he hit it on every par 5 and 2, it seemed like. So he birdied all the par 5s. He played the par 3s very well, and then picked up enough birdies on the par 4s where, you know, he was shooting really low numbers.
Yeah, yeah. Just kind of a fail-safe type spot. I've the other night, maybe 2 weeks ago now, played pretty well, really. I had a match in league, and I ended up winning the match, but playing a short par 4 and hit a nice drive and hit a wedge that I thought was really good, and it just hit a little mound on the left side of the green and kicked in the bunker. Well, then the fun began. I'm even thinking now, just don't make a big number. I don't know, is there a safe sand shot where you kind of, I wouldn't say always get on the green, but even if I hit it 40 feet away, it'd have been better than hitting it in the opposite sand, which I did, and then I hit it back in the sand where I was before. And then you're steaming, so.
Yeah. A lot of out of the bunker is having the confidence that you can get the ball out of the bunker. And really our number one priority, especially if you're not overly comfortable in the bunker, our number one priority is just getting it out.
Right.
And whether that is putting it out of the bunker or, you know, just hitting a little chip shot out or whatever it is, you don't have to be a hero out of the bunkers. Just get it on the green or get it out of the bunker and avoid leaving it in the bunker or hitting it in another bunker, as in your case.
Yeah.
But that's the biggest thing, and you know you have to practice your bunker play to have confidence in
sure,
it.
Sure, yeah.
So you know, I give a lot of bunker lessons. I rarely see anybody practicing though out of the bunker. So you know, you just have to develop that confidence where you walk into the bunker and you're not fearing hitting the bad shot, or
right.
That's your only thought.
Well, you almost think, I don't care if I take a shovel full of dirt if it's on the green somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't hit it thin. Don't hit it too fat. It's tough, Chris. It's
exactly.
Tough. It's tough out there. Tito's Handmade Vodka is the sponsor of our 19th hole. Thanks to Tito's for being with us
all year long, and we're just coming out of the week with a nice tournament at Cragen's with the pros in town. A thrill to get to play with those guys if you were lucky enough to be one of the amateurs who gets to play with the pros. Cragen's, one of our sponsors, does a great job with the 19th hole. Been in there with the boys many times this summer, of course, and that's half the fun of the game. You get Absolutely. Together with the boys after, and it's amazing. A guy thinks, I don't have that good a memory. And then talk to him about his golf game. He remembers all 87 shots and everything he did right or wrong.
That's right. You know, the pro I grew up working for had a great solution for that. Somebody would come in and he'd start giving a hole-by-hole replay of his game, and he'd take it. We had a payphone in the pro shop, and tell us how long ago that was, but he'd take a dime out of his pocket and hand the guy a dime and say, go call somebody who cares.
yeah We had Common Man on a week ago, and that's one of his sticks on his show. He always can recant the entire round.
That's right.
Rosie tries to reel him back in sometimes, I think, on the maybe not have to go through all 18. Because it is important to you, but not too many other people.
That's right.
All right, thanks, Chris.
Thank you, Mac.
You've been listening to Lakes, Woods, and Irons on The Fan.
Thanks for listening to today's edition of Lakes, Woods, and Irons at 1380 KLIZ, The Fan. Today's broadcast is sponsored by Cragen's Legacy Courses, Tito's Handmade Vodka, Rutgers Bay Lake Lodge, The Tea Hive, The Holiday Station on Mill Avenue, and Maury's Market. Streaming at lakeswoodsandirons.com, sponsored by Mills GM. We now return to our regularly scheduled program at the Lake Sports Talk 1380 KLIZ, The Fan.